This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
So, I'm solo here at the MMA Roasted Podcast because T-Rex left. He's got, I don't know, some kind of obligation. And Ellenberger is in Omaha because his brother is giving birth, which is great because that means that Jake's the only virgin left in the family. However, they got replaced by one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life. And she's here. She's with us. She's an actress. She's an activist. She's a Bellator ring girl. Jade Bryce, how are you?
I am amazing.
Thank you for joining us in studio. Me and
thanks,
DJ. I'm not alone. DJ's here also.
Yeah, one of my chocolate.
DJ's here also. I'm alone as far as like regular co-host. DJ is here as well.
I am here.
Yes, you're here as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And I am staring a lot, so I'll stop that. Sorry.
Yes. Okay. So Jade, thank you for joining us. Now I was researching you last night. I mean, I say that in the most non-perverted way possible. Although things did come up. According to your bio, you had a chaotic childhood. Chaotic.
I didn't write that bio, but I wouldn't consider it chaotic to, you know, some of the children I've been blessed enough to be able to work with. But, grew up all over. We had to move a lot. My birth dad was not around, and my mom was a single parent of three. And so, we had to do, you know, what we could.
So you grew up in Texas?
I grew up all over California, Arizona, Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana.
And what did your mom do?
She worked in hotels, and my birth dad, he went, a lot of people don't know this, but he went into prison when I was four. He got out maybe when I was like 12, saw him for a weekend, and haven't seen him since.
What did he go to jail for?
But we're friends on Facebook.
No,
he's,
come on.
He's actually a comedian like you. So,
no, he's not.
Yeah.
Really?
But I'm not going to tell you his name.
Wow. Wait, come on. Okay, your dad is a comedian in L.A.?
New Orleans.
In New Orleans, I probably wouldn't know him then.
So he's probably not.
So he's a comedian.
Well, he used to do stand up with Ellen DeGeneres and was on Showtime's Funniest People and all that stuff. But
so your dad was a stand up, quasi famous. Went to jail when you were
four.
When you were four, what did he go to jail for?
He was as far as I know, I think he was a pretty big coke dealer in Louisiana, and then he was real abusive with us. So I think it was a mix of the two.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you came back, and then you were like, "I don't want any of this," or he was like,
"Yeah, I tried it out for a weekend and decided it wasn't for me."
Wow, I have a similar thing with my mom. My mom left when I was three, and I haven't seen her since, so I can relate to having a single parent.
But it's good because it gives you compassion for children that, you know, when I'm in Vietnam or Cambodia or Uganda, and I see kids without parents, it wrecks me, you know. And who knows if I grew up in a, you know, household with two parents, if I would have that.
Well, let's take this back. So you go everywhere, because I follow you on Instagram, and you're always in like a third world country, and you're always you go to these countries, Uganda, Vietnam, like you said, and you give food to kids, or
yeah. So what I do throughout the year is I save up 20% of my earnings and I put it aside, and you know sometimes I meet a family in LA that, you know, is struggling and I want to treat them to Disneyland or something, so that gets taken out of there. But, you know, the goal is to set aside 20% of my earnings. And then during Bellator off season, when there's not a lot of filming to audition for, I go to a third world country. I also volunteer here, you know, I don't leave out America, but go to a third world country. And I don't go with an organization. I usually just go without a plan.
You go by yourself?
Yeah, I go by myself. I go without an agenda because that's how I've had to live my whole life anyhow. Play things by ear. Nothing's guaranteed, and things don't usually work out according to plan anyhow. So I get there, and whatever I stumble into is what I put my money towards. So, you know, I can be in Cambodia and see 30 children living off soy sauce, and I'll go to the market and find out how much it'll cost me to feed 30 children for 30 days. It's usually like $7.50. I do that. Or, you know, sometimes like I fell in love with this one woman who, you know, her husband had just passed away. She lost her child. She makes $1 a day. Her rent's 30 a day. So I paid her rent for a year. You know, it's like it could be anything.
And how much money are you making
in
Bellator?
Silly.
You're making billions in Bellator? I mean, that's got to cost a lot of money. I mean, to buy a ticket to Cambodia.
A dollar goes a really far way over there. My ticket cost, I want to say $800 round trip to Southeast Asia.
And then where do you stay?
In hostels that cost like $2 a night.
So you're like...
And I eat food that cost me like $3 a day. So I spent on myself in 6 weeks in Asia $2,000, including my flight. I gave away $7,000. So it's not that like considering how much I got to do for children that needed treatment and food, that's not that much.
No, that's,
that
I
wouldn't
mean,
go very
no,
far
no, that's
here
beautiful.
At all.
That's an amazing thing. But like $9,000 is a lot of money to give away to charity and time. So you just how often? So you've been to Cambodia? You've been to where else? Vietnam?
Cambodia, Bangkok. I worked with children that had been forced in the sex industry in Chiang Mai. All over Indonesia, Uganda, Rwanda, Brazil.
That's amazing.
And then, you know, Texas has more hungry children than any state in America. So when I was there, I worked a lot in that. And then children with, you know, developmental
Aren't you scared
disabilities.
A little bit of, like, going to Uganda by yourself?
I've gotten in some pickles, but I've always gotten out of them.
What kind of pickles
And
have
I kind
you
of feel
into?
Like, you know...
Wait, hold on. What do you mean I've gotten in pickles? What does that mean?
You know, like a man chasing me through the jungle, like something dramatic like that. Those have happened. But I kind of feel like if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm going to be okay. You know, and if that's the way I'm going to go, then, you know.
Wait, so you fly to the Uganda and you end up in the jungle and then a guy starts chasing you around? This sounds like...
I mean, that happened one time. Another time I woke up in my hut, there's no windows, and a guy was just staring into my window. And, you know, it's like little things like that like almost something could go wrong. But if I... You know, if I act like I belong there and I act like I'm bigger than I am, I'm usually okay. I'm not afraid of the child soldiers.
But if
I'm
I saw you in Uganda, I'd probably know that you didn't belong there. No offense. But.
Yeah, but maybe in the cities, but in the villages, you know, there's only 2,000 people. 70% of them are kids, and they kind of all know you right away, and they treat you like family if you're there earning their trust and not just there to take photos, you know?
That's really, really nice. How long have you been doing this for?
8 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like an angel.
Every year for 8 years. And I don't ever say it like, oh, haha, this is what I do. I say it because I want people to know it's not that hard to help people, you know? And it really can change the world if you just – you don't need money, but it really can change the world if you just think of others.
No, I agree. I when I lived in New York, I was the head volunteer at the Ronald McDonald House for 3 years.
Okay,
and that
cool.
was the greatest yeah. thing I ever did. And I know it is helping a lot. I do think you have to worry about your safety a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think you flying to Uganda and running around the jungle might not be the safest
yeah.
thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But so just be careful. That seems a little insane.
Yeah.
All right. So that's one thing you're doing. You're also acting?
Yep. Trying.
How's yeah. that going?
I mean, people say that for only being out here 3 years, I'm doing really well. But, you know, it's the human condition to always feel like you're not doing enough. So I feel like I want to be doing a lot more.
Yeah.
Of course.
But you're auditioning, you have an agent, and you're
yeah, I have
going
an agent.
Out for stuff. And-
yeah. I'm with Glick Agency and doing some really good auditions, getting callbacks. So at least I'm in their roster in a good light. You
I love
know?
Your teeth, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Honestly, you have a great teeth. Like, I know that like there's like a space, but I think it's adorable. I
thank
think
you.
That's why I thought you were British when I first met you.
I had a dream two nights ago that British.
British people.
It's the London look.
Yeah, it's kind of the London look.
I had a dream two nights ago that like I went bowling and this guy's bowling ball hit me in the teeth and it knocked out. And so I had to get new teeth. And like
I think it'll go through
I did
teeth.
A Twitter vote. Yeah. Oh, thanks. I did a Twitter vote of should I get my teeth put like in where I still have my gap or should I keep it? And I didn't get to find out what people decided in my dream. I woke up.
Oh, you dreamt about having a Twitter vote?
Yeah, I dreamt that I was like, hey, I have to get, you know, teeth put in because this guy knocked out my teeth with this bowling ball. Do you guys want me to put them back in and have the same size gap, or should I just close the gap? And I woke up before I got to find out.
I don't think you close the gap. I do have an issue with you, though, by the way. You came to a comedy show of mine, right? Not mine. You were at the Improv.
Chris D'Elia.
Yeah, Chris D'Elia was on the show. And then you put on Instagram, went to a comedy show, Chris D'Elia was the funniest comic of all time, and I was there, and I got nothing.
I remembered you, and I don't think there was only one person that whole night that I didn't laugh at, and I think I went through and followed every comedian that was there that night. Everybody was really, really good. I always have a good time. I've never seen anyone bad open up for him.
We didn't open up for him. He was just on the show.
That's what I mean.
Okay,
he was the last act.
But he wasn't headlining. He was one of the comics.
Okay, I didn't know. He put me on the list, so.
Oh, okay.
I've got to send out a thank you.
I was not opening for him. Thank you. All right. Let's get that. Okay, so, and now your dating life, okay? Because obviously people seem to want to know about Uncle Creepy, that you dated him a long time ago, correct? Or
I mean, we went to Coachella together. I wouldn't say that I dated him.
You didn't? Okay, so it wasn't a date?
We're very different people, but he's a really good guy. We're just, we don't want the same things at all, so, we
sounds
hung
like
out.
You dated him.
No, I didn't date him.
Anybody that says that we don't like the same things, it was dating.
We hung out, and it didn't, I didn't think it, we hung out and it didn't go anywhere.
What did he want? What were the things that he wanted?
I think he wanted a girlfriend, and he found a really good one.
Right.
So.
And what did you want?
I wanted... The last 2 years, I actually really wanted to be alone and have a romantic relationship with myself.
Oh, really?
And I did, yeah.
How about is there a video of this?
Yeah.
She had a blog,
really?
The no. Travel-sized model.
Yeah, I did. Oh. I blogged about it a lot. And I learned so much about myself.
Okay, so you said you wanted to be alone. Now, how does a guy like Uncle Creepy get you, though? Like, how does a guy pick up Jade Bryce? Like, say there's a guy out there, he likes you. What's his best way?
Yeah, people ask that on Instagram all the time, and I think it's the weirdest question because, you shouldn't, like, people always say, would you date, like, an average guy, or how do I get you? And it's like, well, there's no such thing as that, you know? Like,
sure there is.
No, there's not. Everyone is got something in them. Everyone is a catch to someone, you know? Like, you just got to be yourself, and you just got to find that match. I'm not one, even in my friendships, to force a connection. If like, we're not vibrating on the same frequencies, then, like, I don't...
What frequencies are you vibrating on?
So, but yeah, number one thing that I look for before anything else is a humble heart that wants to make a difference in the world. That melts my heart more than anything else. In my FHM interviews, I always list six things, but that is before anything else. The second thing is faith. I want someone, I don't care what you really believe in, but I need spirituality. I want to meditate together. I want to push each other forward and you know, what the universe has for us. That's number two. Number three, I want to laugh and, like, it's nice in bed to, like, you know, stare into each other's eyes and have that sexy chemistry. But I also want to laugh so hard that my back hurts, you know? Like, if you can't make me laugh, I'm, like...
Your back hurts?
It actually hurts right
now. No, I'm saying, you're laughing so hard that your back... How is
yeah,
that?
From, like exhaustion. Like, your chest hurts, you know? Like, I've dated some guys that were... They looked... amazing and everything about them was amazing, but we didn't laugh, and so I had to break it off because it's so important. Like, what do you
got to make you laugh?
Yeah, it's right. Medicine. So laughter.
Do you have a dark sense of humor, or you just laugh at stupid things?
Everything. My sense of humor is a mess. The fourth thing would be a desire to travel, and I don't care if it's camping in Big Sur. I just want to be outdoors doing outdoor activities together. Number five is that they care about their health. I avoid cigarette smoke. I rarely drink, and it's
you smoke
you know,
weed.
Am I allowed to talk about that?
Yes, sure.
I am. I think of vapor. I like vaporizers.
Yeah. We're in California. It's legal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like. I do. I like weed.
So, like, every night you smoke, or
no, not every night. Maybe it's not that much. Maybe like once a week.
Once a week,
or
right.
You know, twice a month.
Like to unwind or whatever. I'm curious as to
just when I remember, when I have time, I guess. I don't want to be. Sometimes I'll be too foggy headed the next day if I do. So it just depends. But you know, I avoid cigarette smoke. I'm not really into drinking. I want to be able to hike together, kayak, you know, do stuff like that.
I have all these things, by the way. Just so you know, I'm keeping a noted tab.
He has a kayak.
No. I'm not saying. No, I'm funny. I'm somewhat spiritual. I'm making the world a better place through laughter and comedy. What else? I can totally break your back. I can make you laugh that your back is.
Do you like crazy cats and a crazy dog?
DJ Cockblocker. Okay,
I'm obsessed with animals.
There we go. Bang.
Obsessed.
Turn into Wingman.
I have a cat named Perspective.
It's true.
That's basically the cat version of me.
Wait, so how many animals do you have?
I have one cat named Perspective.
His name is Perspective, really?
Yeah. I want a Pomeranian Husky, but, you know, I'm with Bellator, so. What? I don't have time for I can't have a dog. Oh. I'm on the road half the week. Cat's pretty cool with that.
So wait, so what are these other two things? The last
I know.
Two?
Was there two? So was there two left?
There might have been one left. It was after travel.
Yeah, there was the travel, the humor, the faith, the charity. I know one was my favorite thing to do is blues dancing. And I don't care if you're good at it, but if you won't blues dance with me, it's probably because you care too much about what people think.
Right.
I don't like that. So, you know, I want to blues dance together.
Where do you go blues dancing?
I haven't found a good place in LA. Do you know?
No, but I'm going to Google it within 3 seconds of this interview. Now, do a lot of fighters try to pick you up?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In Bellator or just in general?
In general, but, you know, there's been a few in Bellator and, you know, you just got to get
Which
used
ones?
To it.
All right, I'm going to name a fighter and you tell me if they try to pick you up or not, right? Tito Ortiz.
I don't...
She winked. I think
wow. No, I
winked.
Didn't.
Brendan Schaub.
Oh, that's funny that you said that. Are y'all friends?
No, I'm not friends
Didn't
with
Brendan. Did y'all do a show together?
No, that's Brian Callen, but thank you for knowing
what
show
you're on. Okay.
Well, Brendan Schaub tried to pick you up?
I don't think we should do this game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't think we should play.
All right. Let's say there are fighters that try to pick you up and you tell them that you can't hook up with them because you're a ring girl, correct?
Yeah, well, with Bellator especially, that's the number one thing to say.
It's in the contract?
But, you know, I'm not against, you know, my few boyfriends I had before my 2 years of singleness, the few boyfriends I had were all fighters. And I didn't do it on purpose.
Who are these boyfriends?
I mean, when you're always around actors, you usually date actors. When you're always around, you know.
Comedians.
Yeah, so.
Who are these boyfriends?
I don't. Why do we have to play the name game?
I don't know. This is a podcast. The fans. This is a lifestyle show. As DJ would say, we have to get over. We have to talk about your lifestyle, and this is like what people want to know. All right. We'll talk about something less uncomfortable. So your Playboy picks. I was looking through your Playboy picks, which there are a lot of them online. There's you know.
Well, I think I was published maybe 6 to 8 times. So there's. A good amount of them on there, but they were all about 2 years ago. So hopefully other stuff comes up now when you Google me.
Well, I actually Googled Jay Bryce Playboy pics.
Oh,
so that's
right.
Probably why it came up. But yeah, they look very good. You look very
Thank
pretty
you.
In them. Now, was that uncomfortable being naked in front of the camera? Was that hard?
No, I haven't shot nude since Playboy, but, I was only nude in Playboy and Italian Maxim, I think as far as publication, but, my mom actually thinks I'm an exhibitionist. My best friend says I'm only an exhibitionist with love. I don't know. Like, I think it's weird when people think it's weird to be nude. Like, I like being nude. I like other people being comfortable nude. I don't understand what the big deal is. It weirds me out when people get so weirded out on Instagram because, like, a nipple showing through a shirt or something like that. Like, I don't get it.
No,
like,
I totally agree.
We all have them.
Like, I think you should be nude all the time when we were hanging out. I think that's a good plan. I think that,
and it's why I like Austin, because Austin's like so comfortable with like nude events and stuff. And I would never go to like nude yoga and like stuff like that. But I mean,
they
I don't see
yoga?
What the big deal is. Why
that
do we get so
horrible.
Offended about nudity? I know, yeah. Like you don't
that
know where that sweat
good.
Just came from
oh,
that
God.
Dripped on you.
Fat, fucking disgusting people.
If you're behind the wrong person,
any type of nude
in downward dog or happy baby, which I guess in that situation would be happy boyfriend.
I'll just think about swamp ass. Fucking the amount of swamp
like
ass.
Hot is, naked yoga.
Yeah. All those things sound great. Like my friend did a nude cruise. Like he performed on a nude cruise where everyone gets nude, a bunch of nudists on the cruise. He said it was the worst experience of his life.
Yeah, because think about like the. I mean, if it was like a normal thing that like it's everywhere, but like the people that event probably attracts. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't go to, like, a nude event.
Yeah.
But I don't see why people get so offended by nudity.
No, well, I think when you look like you, it's a lot less offensive. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, at the same time, I think there's a line, you know? There's, like, tasteful nudity, mm-hmm. and then there's, like, you know...
Yeah.
You know.
Of course.
You know,
what's the purpose? What's the exposure. Goal of what you're...
I don't want to see a random guy naked if I'm getting my
Well, male nudity is just funny, usually.
It's awful. I mean, I would assume to some people, unless you're into that. So, all right. So you're in Bellator. You're a ring car girl. But you're trying to be an actress. Are you trying to... Like, if you got an acting role, would you say, you know what, this is it? Like, if you booked a sitcom or something, would you...
I mean, I love Bellator, but that is the goal. Yeah, I mean, I can't be a ring girl for forever. And I'm pursuing film, and, you know, luckily I have Bellator to, you know, in the meantime. It's I'm a huge fan of MMA, and I was for years before I was hired, so I consider it the best job in the meantime. But ideally, I'd like to, you know, book a hit sitcom where, you know... I'm on that for years.
What do you think of the whole Ariani-Ronda Rousey feud that's going on? Are you friends with Ronda? Are you friends with Ariani? Are you friends with the other ring girls?
No. I don't know much about them, actually, at all. You know, I think she's an amazing fighter. I think, you know, some of the things she says, I can see how that became a feud. A feud I don't want to be in. But... I mean, I kind of see where they're coming from both ends, you know?
Same way.
But, you know, I just think, like, I don't understand why everybody's judging everyone. And I feel like, why?
It's fun.
But then also, like, then you're judging them for being judgmental.
Of course.
Then you become a prick for judging a prick.
It's really stupid.
It's like,
the whole thing is really dumb. But this is a podcast, and we got to fill time.
Yeah.
Now, as far as other ring girls, are you friends with Brittany Palmer or Ariani? Is there, like,
never
animosity?
Never had a conversation with them.
Never? Did they ever give you dirty looks?
No, never had a conversation with him.
But Mercedes you're friends with?
Yeah, I'm good friends with Uriah, and he's, like, best friends with Brittany. So, you know.
So you...
We had the same manager for a little bit, but...
I think Uriah's prettier, to be honest.
Yeah. he's like, the nicest guy you can meet. But, yeah, I don't know anything about Ariani, though.
Right.
Yeah. I've not seen any interviews or anything, even.
What is an interesting story on how she got discovered?
In Europe, right?
Yeah.
Europe.
In Italy, right?
Like, well, a photographer so I shot with I was backpacking and couch surfing the bottom tip of California to the top tip, and I was outside. It was in Ocean Beach making bracelets. Me and my friends were selling them to, like, you know, continue on our way. And this guy came up and actually commented on my gap in my teeth, and was like, "Oh, I've been looking for a model to shoot with a gap in her teeth. You're perfect for this." And I was like, "Oh, I'm not a model. I've never modeled before. Not interested. Thank you." He talked me into it. I ended up shooting with him. And then, he said, throw away the pictures if you don't like them, whatever. I went off to Africa to volunteer straight from there. When I came back, he had a bunch of the pictures online. I got booked in Italian Maxim. A couple months later, they asked me what my favorite sport was. I said MMA. Paul Thatcher from Fight Magazine saw that, shot me for Fight. Our Spanish commentator picked it up in a barber shop and, you know, gave it to Bellator. So it's funny because that one guy on Ocean Beach changed my life forever. This guy that just lived in a van and just took photos, you know, he changed my life forever. And it's the only reason why I'm in LA. It's the only reason why I have the friends that I do, you know. And honestly, like, I had a crush on a fighter at the time, and it's the only reason why, because, you know, Fight Magazine doesn't pay.
Come on, tell us the crush you had. Tell us something.
I mean, it was, come on.
Just tell us.
But I was like, it's the only reason why I actually said yes to the Fight Magazine, even though it wasn't a paid thing. So it's just funny how, you know, the butterfly effect in all of this, you know, like.
It's all karma, right?
Yeah. I mean, and then here I am with you guys.
Yes. So. Well, hopefully one day you'll have your own show, because you seem like a.
Oh, that would be fun.
I would watch the Jade Bryce project. You seem like you seem like kind of a hippie girl. Like, you're born in the wrong generation. Like, you should have been around in the 60s or something.
I don't know. I'm glad I was born in the 80s.
I know. Well, I'm glad that way you're not 60 years old now. But I'm saying, it seems like I haven't met anyone like you who just buys random tickets.
I do get called, like, bohemian a lot, because I, like, brew my own kombucha.
What the hell?
I don't know if you've seen pictures of my... Oh, you don't know what kombucha is?
No, what's kombucha?
It'll change your life. You should drink kombucha every day with E3 Live in it.
Is that a band?
And some maca and some maca powder.
What language?
Whoa, let's go. This is stuff you buy like in Venice. Or
what are you talking
right?
about? Yeah. E3 Live.
It like wakes your brain up, and then maca powder like stabilizes your mood, and it's like a miracle food. You'll never get sick with like if you do some probiotic kefir and then the kombucha like. You'll just feel so much better.
Yeah, I mean, Celexa and Adderall and marijuana does that for me.
I try not to put anything unnatural in my body, but I have a.
That means I have no chance.
Well, go on. It's like a supplement. So, it's like a supplement.
So, are you dating anyone now? Are you still single?
Yeah, I usually try to keep like my family life and romantic life like separate from work, but
people don't look, this is not Jade, but, let me tell you something, this is not your interview, okay? We're interviewing you because these are things that I want to know. I understand that you have a press release.
I mean, I already told you guys about my birth father. I don't know, I messed it up in the beginning,
but I don't know, but the thing is I understand that you have like, okay, I don't want to talk about this, but this is what people want to know. People want to be honest.
I am finally dating someone that is, I think, the best person I've ever met in my life.
He's a fighter?
No. Uh-uh.
Is it Bjorn Rebney?
Oh, no. Come on.
Is it an actor?
No. He could be anything he wanted, though.
Who is he?
He was my best friend for 5 years, and I always had a crush on him. But
what does he do?
He does it all. He's amazing.
I think he's on your blog, right? I think he's pictured.
No.
Not that guy?
I've talked about him in my blog because he was my best friend. So I'm always like, I wonder what, you
Who
know.
Who is
like,
he, DJ?
I'm looking.
He's not in my blog.
Is he famous?
No, he probably will be because he's should speak to troubled teens because everything he says is amazing. But yeah, he's my best friend for 5 years and I always had a crush on him.
Is it Matt Brown?
And I couldn't, I never could tell him. And then in Vietnam, In Vietnam, my emotions were a little bit more intense because of, you know, I was working with 15 kids to a bed getting cancer treatment. And he's always been there for me in those times. So, you know, I reached out to him and then was just told him how I felt because I was a little bit more vulnerable at the time. And then it blossomed from there.
That's kind of
a weird thing.
So you're happy.
I'm happier than I've ever been.
Happy, you have a man.
But I had to be single those 2 years.
Oh, wait, is he that guy you're at the award show with?
No, I auctioned off my plus one ticket for St. Jude's, actually. I do that every year.
That wasn't the question. The guy you were at the award show with, who was like a skateboarder or something?
Oh, Big Cat is like my best friend.
Oh, is that him, Big Cat?
Everyone thinks that me and him are dating. Like, there's blogs about it, and I don't know why. Just because it's funny because on Instagram, I've never posted a picture with anyone that I've dated, celebrity or not, because I don't want people posting blogs. If I post a picture with a guy on Instagram, he's just my friend.
All right, so you're not telling us who it is.
The Uncle Creepy's on my Instagram. Big Cat's on my Instagram. There's blogs about us dating. I've not dated them.
This is nonsense. This is ridiculous that you're not. I can't believe. I'll tell you who I dated. I'm an open book. Ask me a question. I'll tell you anything you want. Anything you want to tell here, I'll tell. That's my job.
Have you hung out with Ashley Kushner? She's really funny.
Ashley Kushner.
She's a comedian. You guys?
Have I hung out with her? No, I've met her. But that's what you want to know, really?
I kind of just wanted to put her name on.
Oh, come
on!
That's what you use. Use the opportunity to plug your friend. Great. DJ's looking through every one of her blogs to find out who this guy is.
I haven't blogged since June.
You haven't. You've been slacking. And
no, I know. Well,
what are you, her number
I'm
one
really
fan?
Glad
What's
about,
going on here?
I have a lot of girls tell me that they did not commit suicide because they read that blog, and I just met with one last week.
What blog? What are you talking about?
I have a blog where I'm very open about my depression that I've struggled with, and
you were
my
depressed?
Father.
When were you depressed?
It hits me every 6 months, but you know, I was very depressed until I was about 17 years old, and I had a wake up call. But I was a very suicidal teenager who hated. I didn't want to live. You know, I lived on the streets. At 15 years old, I lived in my car, and my life was going nowhere. All depression is a lack of hope for the future. I had no hope, so you know, I was super depressed. And so I write about that in hopes of reaching out to someone who feels alone and letting them know that you can become something, you can have a life that you're proud of and that you love. I am so freaking glad that I didn't kill myself at 15 because I've experienced so much. And that's why in Pi I got this tattoo with bamboo on my back that says smile, because there's always a smile around the corner. everything passes, good and bad. If you can just get, like in June, I got really, really depressed. And if I had chosen to end it, I wouldn't have experienced. You know, depression is just, it's a chemical imbalance that there's not always a reason. I was lonely. I was confused about my career. You know, I moved out here not really knowing people, so I didn't have a community. And also, it's just a lack of serotonin in your brain sometimes, you know? I know
that.
It's a lack of connection, you know? So I was really depressed in June. Didn't really see a point in going on, but I knew that there was a point, so I held on. And, you know, had I not, I wouldn't have experienced everything I experienced in Asia. I wouldn't have told my best friend how I felt, you know? I've never felt the love that I feel in my life right now. And I almost missed out on that.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, coming from someone who's also dealt with depression and has OCD and all kinds of stuff, it's really nice to hear, not that you were depressed, but that you have battled through it and that you're able to
and
talk about
it. I'm sure I'm going to battle through it again. You know, I said,
I hope not.
This too shall
pass. I'm sure it's easier for me to sit here and go, why are you depressed? I mean, you're beautiful and this and that and you got all kinds. But I'm sure everybody has their own personal demons and has to get through it. And as long as you're brewing your own hookah, whatever the hell you're brewing, you know.
Kombucha.
With E3 Live.
With E3 Live.
Do it.
You know, it sounds like you're on the right track. Or that, you know, I mean, if I was casting something, I'd put you in it as the female lead. And
thank you. What
would your role be?
Yeah.
The girl who, I think, it'd be a lot of good roles for you. If I was casting, probably maybe the girl who, you wouldn't be like the nerdy girl who becomes this, but you'd be a good best friend. Or
big sister.
Big sister, or like the hot chick that the guy gets, or maybe you think the guy's a nerdy and then he wins you over. And,
yeah.
I don't know, there's probably
My dream role would be like Rita, I mean not Rita, sorry, it would be Hannah and Dexter.
You'd be a good Hannah.
Yeah, Hannah and Dexter or the girl in Crazy Stupid Love, Emma Stone. Mm. Yeah, like that role.
I could definitely see you have a very unique look, and you have a good, you look good on camera. Even my dad said, he's like, wow.
Oh, thanks.
she looks very good on camera, as my dad told me.
Thank you.
So yeah, that's, there's no reason, so even though you're not going to tell us who you're dating, which is fine, you don't have to tell us, fine, nonsense. Now, Bellator used to do these things where they would have like you guys do jiu-jitsu like for technique.
Sweet submissions.
Are you guys still do that or no?
No, but you should tell them that we should.
Did you enjoy doing that?
I loved it.
It was pretty cool. I only caught a couple of them, but did you guys actually know what you were doing or did you learn it that day?
No, we really made each other tap. Well, that was never fake. I blacked out once, you know, Jimmy teaches us exactly how to, we don't want it to be cheesy, you know, yeah, it's supposed to be sexy, but, you know, we don't want it to be cheesy. Jimmy shows us exactly how to do it and we do it until the person taps. So, you know, and it was on TMZ and, you know, we got a lot of hits on it, you know, but, they took it off, so.
How often do you get recognized by Bellator fans?
You know, it depends on where I'm at. Like, of course, if there's some type of MMA event or I'm at any fight, then, you know, whether it's Bellator or not, I get recognized. But then, you know, sometimes it's happened like at a red light or a post office or the airport, but like it's always really random, you know, or in a bar, but. You know, sometimes.
Does your boyfriend get insecure that all these fighters are around you and hitting on you? Does he get kind of jealous at all?
My exes did, and that's one of the reasons why they all failed. What's so great about my relationship now is that we're best friends. We've been best friends for 5 years, and we will never hurt each other. We're best friends. I never want anyone to hurt him. You know, he doesn't have to ever worry about me hurting him, and I don't have to worry about him hurting me. So, there's no insecurities.
But your exes would get mad. They'd be like...
Yeah, and it was the most unattractive quality in the world. Because if I choose you as my boyfriend, I don't want anyone else. I've never cheated on anyone. If I start to have feelings for someone else, I break up with you. And that's never even happened. Because when I'm focused on you, I don't see anyone else. No one else exists, you know? And if I can't have that with you, then I break up with you. But... No one believed me.
What happened? The guys were convinced you were flirting with... Because you do seem a little bit like a flirt. I have to... let's call a spade a spade.
Well, you know what it is I'm a nice person. Yeah. And that's so rare that it gets mistaken for flirting.
Yeah, that's true. All right, forget the spade.
What is it? Is it the way I'm looking at you?
No, yeah, exactly. I can tell that you're undressing me with your eyes the entire time. You keep giving me this vibe that you definitely, you know.
I'm a happy person, and I'm nice to people. And so then, you know, people might think that I have a crush, but this is how I treat everyone, and this is how we should all treat each other.
Okay, so but your ex-boyfriends, though, they would say, well, you know, why'd you flirt with that fighter, or what would happen?
You know, insecure people... it's rooted from anxiety, I think, and I think they create a story in their head and react off that story instead, and that's why it fails. It's never what we think it is.
Yeah.
We can't do that. Something I always tell myself is not always so, because that happens with me. A lot of times I think people are mad at me, and I react off that, or I get quiet because of that, and I have to remind myself not always so. But yeah, my exes would... you know, they would be insecure about me playing a role with someone in an audition alone, or being around fighters that are fit and in their underwear, or you know what, like I said, they were fighters. Maybe they were doing something, because like, why do they think I'm the ring girl sleeping with the fighters? You know, like, but yeah, none of them followed me on Twitter or Instagram, or even were my friends on Facebook, because they could not handle a guy commenting on my things and them seeing it. I don't know any of these people that are telling me they love me, and that you know, like, it's the weirdest thing to be upset about that.
Do other ring girls
and they get
fighters,
upset or? Like that you're posting a bikini photo, like you're the only one that touches me, like you're the only one that, like,
yeah, at the same time, I could yeah, I understand, but they have to know that going in, that you're gonna be half naked on Instagram, or that you have pictures online of
it's
you
always
naked.
Okay, going in.
Going in, yeah. You have to know that going in, and then the guys try to change you, and then you're like, what the hell, you signed up for this. But I could see, like, if we started dating and you weren't like that, and then you started posting naked pictures, I could see you go, what the hell are you doing? I don't want everyone seeing you naked.
You know what, though? Also, like, there was never anyone in my life that, like, mattered so much that I was like, you're the only one that I want to see this. I used to post pictures online, you know, I don't know if I needed attention, or if I was bored, or if I was trying to build my following. But sometimes I'd post pictures online to get a reaction, and almost like this fake sense of company, because I wasn't fulfilled in my relationships. There's a lot of pictures that I take now that I don't post online because...
Yeah, but don't set yourself up to fail, because don't put all your eggs...
No.
It seems like a little bit like... This relationship, I don't know who the guy is. If you say he's great, you've known him 5 years, I wish you nothing but happiness. But
it's also a cool feeling, though, to like to be able to take a picture and then not, like, it's not for the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, before it was like only for the internet, because that's where I got my main fulfillment.
So what are these pictures you're showing this guy? I mean, because if you're putting...
A point I was trying to get across.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say that there must be some crazy pictures.
No, just a point I was trying to get across.
It's like your
but
body.
It's already out there now. I mean, you're out there naked now. Like, what else can she possibly, like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, her, like, with her ass in the air, with her butt cheeks spread out. I'm wondering what these pictures are.
That doesn't bother me, you know, those pictures being out there. But I would like to be Googled and a bunch of my, you know, movies still show up.
Yeah.
Is what
well,
I
Well, you're
like.
Not the first girl to do Playboy, and it is the highest form of nudity. If it's ever going to be tasteful.
That's the thing. Like, you know. But in Texas, not that many people do Playboy, so you can be judged really easily. Out here, everybody does Playboy.
Everybody
goes to the mansion on Sundays. You know, like, everybody has
do you go to the
lived
mansion
there for
on Sundays?
Bit. Well, I lived there like a couple summers ago, and you know, for the next year, I went there like, you know, every Sunday.
What was that
for
like?
Yeah,
there.
Let's talk about that.
But I haven't been back. I get invited, but I haven't been back in a while because I just, you know, it's not.
What was it like living at the Playboy Mansion?
Towards. It's like what it looks like, you know. I mean, if that's your goal is to.
Let's not talk about hyperbole. Exactly what?
What's
a day to day life like when you live there? What's your
week
look like?
So you wake up in a cute little pink room with a bunch of posters of nude women all around you that you feel like they're staring at you. And you call the kitchen. You tell them what you want for breakfast. If it's there's no menu, if you want lobster, you get lobster. If you want chocolate cake, you get chocolate cake. And that's my favorite part,
right?
Because I'm a foodie. But I would like some pizza right now. But there's that, and then after that, until lunchtime, I don't know, there's a pool, there's animals, there's a weight room where you have, like, little weights with your name on them, you know, and it's fun, but it's also kind of lonely because it's kind of like you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, there's so many people there. We have movie night. We have the cast of the movie or the people who were involved come, and you have dinner with them. You watch the movie. It's fun to be able to watch it with them. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you could go that whole time without seeing anyone but the cook and butler.
Did Hefner try to hook up with you?
No. No, he's been with Crystal. He was already with Crystal, his wife, at the time. And
is it weird that he had three girlfriends at the same time? I mean, that's sort of...
No, I mean, it's Hef. That's
yeah, he gets a pass
but
for
but
all
it's kind
that.
Of strange.
Yeah. I mean, that's the image that he built up, you know?
I always look kind of weird that these girls are like 20 and he's 80 and
you know,
everyone's
like,
cool
he's
with
sweet
being his girlfriend.
On her. They're cuddling during the movies and all that. But to everyone else, you're kind of like a... You know, he's almost like a grandpa
it's
in a way.
Creepy, no?
He's got swag, though, right? Like
he's 90 years old. Swag.
No, I mean, like, he's really old now.
He's got Alzheimer's.
Like, really old.
So you're thinking it's creepy now, but five years ago.
That's the thing. He's not creepy. I didn't get to see that side of him because he's so old that he's just kind of like this.
So why do you think that these young women are attracted to him? Aside from
well, they're
like
not attracted to him. They're attracted to the image and to the power and
what he represents.
Yeah, and they want to get published and they want to, you know, a lot of girls come out here and they want to get famous and plan B is to marry rich. And that's the place to do it. You've got tons of millionaires coming into that house looking for a young model, you know, and...
And it works.
And it works,
you have,
yeah.
What celebrities, like hitting on you, a lot of celebrities?
A lot of celebrities come there because they want to experience the mansion. Yeah. You know, I think once they experience it, they don't come back that much. But if we watch, like, a certain film, you know, that whole cast gets invited and they're all there.
But I don't know, like, Pauly Shore was always
Pauly
there.
Pauly Shore is always there.
Was
John
on
Levitz
you?
Is always there. Pauly Shore sent, like... I don't know how he got my number, but he texts me a lot. I've not seen his stand-up. Is it pretty funny?
It's about as funny as his number. No, he's
always at the mansion asking where the ice cream is.
Really?
John Lovitz is there a lot, which I've seen his stand-up. But yeah, I mean,
but were these guys trying to sleep with you? I mean, did they?
Yeah, of course. And you know, like, and they don't really want to sleep with you. They're looking for a live-in girlfriend. You know, they pay you $10,000 a month to live in their house and keep them company. And you can live your own life, and you can have the car that they bought you. And, you know, it's what a lot of girls
are
doing.
But you never took him up on that?
No. I have a folder of emails titled Mario, because he's the one that emails me the most, with hundreds of offers. Not because I ever plan on responding, but because I kind of just want to make a book one day, like, of all the nonsense in there.
Of guys who tried to bang me, that would be called it.
And I don't know if you ever saw that Instagram post that I posted. It's a guy's has a room full of my photos. It's in my phone. I can show you. It's full of my photos with a mannequin of me. And, like, I've
like
donated my sports
doll.
Bras to, like breast cancer awareness things. And he's got those framed. And so it's, like, my folder's full of that stuff, you know?
It's scary.
It's weird, yeah. But, yeah, I've never responded to any of those people. It's not worth it. I'm not going to date a guy for a pair of shoes or a purse. I'm not going to – like I said, I'm all about chemistry.
But it sounds like the Playboy Mansion's like a dollhouse, right? Like Playboy has all these beautiful women here.
And I'm not saying that those girls are wrong at all.
Right,
it's all about what you want in life.
No, I'm saying that's pretty lame. I'm sorry.
I know some really nice girls
girl
that do that.
And you're willing to sleep with a guy because he's paying your rent and paying stuff. It's kind of – I mean, you're pretty much being a prostitute. I mean, you're being...
I know. So. I mean, the girls are nice, and there's a reason why people do the things that they do. You know, it's not like... I'm from Austin, Texas. This is where I consider myself. It's the only place I lived more than a year before L.A. You never have a guy come up to you in a grocery store and offer you the things they do here, you know, just at a grocery store. It's very weird. But I do know a group of girls that, like, fly around on a private jet and, like... take dumps on guys because that's what turns them on. Like, there's some really weird things out there.
Wait, well, hold on.
But that's the thing. You don't know
this. You keep saying these things and then going on to the next topic. What girls do you... You know girls, your friends?
There's a lot of girls that do that.
That take dumps on guys?
But these girls aren't bad people. Like, no one... They're not bad people, but, like... You know, I remember
they're
telling my
wipers.
Best friend one time. I remember telling my best friend one time, like, I was crying and I was like, what happened to these guys that, like, want? Because I got an email one time. This guy asked me to beat him up and told me he'd give me $1,000 per bone that I broke on him.
Ugh.
And I was like, well, first of all, I'd probably break my own bones because I'm not going to be good at this. But I was crying to my best friend because I was like, this bums me out. Like, why do guys want this and this to get turned on? Like, what happened to them as a child? And I was thinking too much into it. He was like, Jade, you can't get bummed out about what turns people on. You can't get bummed out that these girls do this. Like, this is just who people... Like,
did you respond to the email?
No. Mm-mm. Okay. Yeah. No, I screenshotted it. I usually screenshot them, send them to some friends, and we laugh. And
I think you can get bummed out. I mean, because that's just kind of sad.
Like, I want to
sit on
private
jet. It sounds so empty to me, but then at the same time, I feel bad for thinking of those people as, you know what I mean? Like, maybe they're really fooled by doing this. Maybe they're happy. Like, you know, I don't know.
Jade, you got to be more judgmental. I mean, come on. If a guy's saying, I'll give you $1,000 to break my bones and shit on me.
But it bamboozles me that these girls are making thousands taking dumps on people when there's other people who are mopping floors for minimum wage because they're not considered attractive. You know, like, it's amazing what beauty can get you. That
so you want those people that mobs take dumps on people for thousands of dollars?
No, but I mean, like, it just boggles my mind that because this girl is considered pretty by this guy, she's making thousands in one day, and then this girl has this amazing heart, but, like, you know, no one instilled education in her. No one, like, I didn't even know, like...
You think people instill the education on the girl taking dumps? I mean, what kind of... this is a weird play.
Yeah,
I mean,
thinking too much into it, I suppose.
But like, that's LA, too.
I mean, what? You want to stand
this
up for
this is me. I guess
you want to stand
I
up
like
the
end up
moppers.
Staring at a tree and thinking about this for hours.
The mopper should be able to compete. They can take dumps
shouldn't
on people.
Give me
I mean,
a microphone.
I mean, come on. What is... No, I like the fact that you're open about this, and it's very sweet of you. At the same time, you have to think...
It just
like,
boggles me what attraction can get people, is what I mean. You know?
Yeah, but... Well, exactly. It is
somewhat what you do for yourself. When I was 15 and I told you I was living in my car, I had dropped out of school and I had to, you know, enroll in the Youth Homeless Association to end up graduating on time. But at that point, I didn't even know you had to apply to college. I thought you could just show up. Like, no one told me these things, you know? Like, and we have to remember, like, we don't know where people came from. So many people have judged me, you know, for where I was at when I was in high school going to school with two outfits, you know,
Now you have one outfit.
Now I have one.
Yes. Now, do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have a sister that's 24 and a brother that's 18.
Now, your brother who's 18, do people like say, hey, I saw your sister naked on the internet?
Yeah.
And what happens?
He said that happens to him a lot, actually. You know, at first, I think it bothered him, but now he thinks it's kind of cool.
How old is he?
Yeah. He's 18. Yeah, he told me that, like, in the beginning, it's not that he was embarrassed, but he just, like, I'm his sister.
It's kind of gross. And like,
does he want to hang out with you a lot now? Because you just imagine the girls that are floating around with
I mean,
with
he
her.
Likes when I mention I him, like, on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff, but...
That's why, like, I'm the 18-year-old brother. I'm hanging out with you all the time.
At the same time, if people are like, hey, I saw your sister's vagina on the internet, I could see how that would be annoying if I'm a brother. I could be like, listen, dude... Relax. You know, it depends on how cool of a brother you are. You
I know. I think it really bothers my mom. I don't know anyone else that it really bothers.
Doesn't bother me. But so wait. So your mom really bothers her? I mean, she's
yeah, big time.
What did she say to you?
Today she sent me a nude photo of myself from when I was 3 months old and said said in quotations, "Mommy, I'll never pose nude. I swear." And then said, why can't I go back to these days?
Oh, come on. She's
I know, like,
out.
She's really...
She's very Catholic or Christian or...
No, that's what's funny is, like, my mom was, like, when I was a kid, she was, like, this, you know, free spirit like I am. And, you know, I remember a lot, you know, but now she's super conservative. Like, if you try to talk about, you know, any of that, she just slaps you on the forehead. But I don't know, I mean...
But she still loves you. I'm so proud of you, right?
She loves me, but she just pretends that, you know, she just ignores, you know.
But tell her you're not doing porn, you know?
Yeah.
You've never done a porn,
well, people,
right? Have you done
I haven't
porn?
Done porn, but people consider Playboy porn, a lot of people. I don't. I think if I did Penthouse, I'd have to say I did porn. There was, like, some lesbian porn going around that the girl had a gap, and everyone was tagging me in it, and I couldn't do, you know. It's definitely not me. Like, if you look at my nude photos and then you look at her, it's obvious it's not me. Plus, this is, like, a really old film. I would have been – I'd be old if it was me.
Now, I watch it numerous times. And
But there's a lot of blogs saying that it's me. It's not. But, no, I've never done porn. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong with people who do. But, I don't.
Yeah, so I understand why your mom would be concerned. I think if my daughter was naked and Playboy, I might be like, if I had a daughter, I'd be like, listen, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe. But at the same time, it's.
But I would love to do like True Blood, and they're like always nude there, and it's like, it's not porn, it's HBO.
And
you
I'd
know?
Be a lot more proud that you're going to random countries and feeding people than I would be upset that you were naked in a photo.
See, but I had one time, I've always gone alone, but there was one time I was going to go with an organization, and it was funded by a church, and, you know, they said, they didn't let me go because they said my money was dirty. Because it was at the time that I was really known for Playboy. And it,
jeez.
Yeah, I thought, why am I not allowed to be his
and their money
and
isn't
feet?
Dirty.
Why yeah. am I not allowed to, yeah, like how is my, yeah, it really bothered me. But those are the people who, a loveless church is not going to do good to the world, you know. Like you can go over there and you can use, you know, your clean money. But like I bet you anything, like God's smiling just as big on mine, you know. Like it really bothers me when churches act that way. But. You know, I'm a God girl. I'm a Jesus person, and I also quote Buddha a lot. You know, like whatever. But yeah, I mean, it. So that does happen. People, you know, view Playboy as porn, and they view your good works, if you can call them that, as you know, something that's not good just because of where you.
Well, not the people here.
From.
Not the people in this room. me and DJ applaud you for it.
But one of my favorite verses is, you know. I think it's like good works without love are counted as worthless. So, you know, you've got to have love behind all what you do.
She's just an all-around good chick. I'm just wondering what skeletons are crawling around.
Absolutely. You want to know my skeleton is I'm a horrible driver.
Oh.
I'm a
That's
great,
all of LA.
I'm a great parallel parker.
I thought she was
going
to say whore. And then I was like,
no.
I was like really?
I'm a horrible driver, but I'm a great parallel parker. Like I said, you know, I struggle with yeah. my mindset sometimes. I get down. Really good at picking myself up. But, you know, I'm ADD. I struggle with depression, you know, from time to time.
LA can do that to you, though.
Yeah.
LA, like more so than if you don't have a good group of people around you that love you, and if you don't take care of yourself, you're gonna get burnt by this city quick. Yeah. I have a short film, actually, that you can watch on YouTube called 365 Less Strangers about that. I wrote it and then starred in it, and it's about how nice. People in the city, it's, like, weird to say hi, but how, like, if you just, like, how can I struggle with loneliness if we're in a restaurant right now and take out, like, the Fox Sports setting, we're in a restaurant, I've not talked to you guys. How can I struggle with loneliness if you two are right there and we have a human connection? We've all cried ourselves to sleep before. We've all lost something. We've all loved somebody. How can I feel lonely? Like, there's a human connection here if I just allow it to happen. So, but in LA, it's so weird to say hi. Like, that's why people think I'm flirting, because I say
hi. I didn't think you were flirting. I thought you were very sweet.
You could walk by someone, say good morning to them, and they could keep
walking. You can just make eye contact and like, smile, and they are, yeah.
Well, it was the fact that you were butt naked in the room. I think that was sort of, I got the impression. Do a lot of guys get the wrong impression by you? They think that you like them and you don't, or that you're just being nice?
Because they've seen me nude online?
No, it's in general. Like, guys you meet.
I thought you meant on dates, like people getting the wrong impression. Because I'm nice? I think, like, yeah, I've thought before that, like, the cashiers at Trader Joe's or my yoga teachers, all of them, like, talked about how I had a crush on all of them because I'm like, really nice to them. But, like, I don't know. Like I said, I'm a little ADD, so I say things, you know, and I don't know.
So who's this guy that you're dating? Now, what does he do?
I don't understand why you're so curious about that.
Is he a singer? He's a singer.
He could be a really, like, he's an amazing singer. He's amazing at everything that he does. He's literally the best. He's the best person that I know. He's right up there with my best friend, if you don't know Tom Shadyac. He was the youngest writer ever, comedy writer for Bob Hope.
Oh, wow.
Tom Shadyac, he wrote and directed Ace Ventura, Liar, Liar, Nutty Professor. Watch his documentary, I Am. Listen to his radio show on Fridays, The Big Couch with Tom. And
He left show business, right, that guy?
He did, but he's actually doing a few things that I can't say right now because here he was like, don't blog this. But he's my best friend in the whole world, and if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have made it this far just staying alive. And him and you know, and this guy are the best – two people I've ever met in my life. Okay, and I've always told Tom, because Tom's 54, I've always told him, like, I'm going to find a younger version of you. And, you know, he was there all along. But
well, that's very nice of you to say to him. I'm sure he really wants to hear that.
Well, he's like,
I'm
going to
find a younger version of you. I would hate to hear that from Bahat.
Well,
oh, God.
She does
well,
some
he
stuff.
And he needs to find a romantic version of me, you know, like that everyone wanted me and Tom to date, you know, for a little bit there. But, you know, like I said, the connection has to be there. We, when we met each other, it was like we had been friends all along, you know, and it was an instant brother. He introduces me as his sister, you know, so it's just that was what it always was. But yeah, those two people are the best people I know. And Tom, every time you're with him, raises the bar for how we should live. You feel like you've just had a spiritual experience by spending a little bit of time with him. So yeah, watch his film. It's about how he left show business, you know, and realized what was important in life. But he's, you know, he's trying to do some films right now. So
are you going to be on the
I am.
I mean, I'm looking at this guy's IMDb. He's a gangster.
Yeah.
He is so gangster.
Like producer Evan Almighty, Accepted, Eight Rules, like Bruce Almighty.
Yeah.
Like Nutty Professor 2, Patch Adams, like.
Oh,
as
wow.
a gangster. Aside from being the youngest writer for Bob Hope.
Well, he was the number one comedy director in the 90s, you know, and now I honestly, like I tell him all the time, like we don't realize what a difference we make until, like I honestly think that the day he dies, like there's just going to be thousands, not hundreds, but thousands of people around him that are alive because he gave and because not just gave money, but he gave to like the poor in spirit, you know, like, and I tell him that, and then he's like, you know what, though? Like, there was a time where I was so down that had you not been my friend, I wouldn't have made it through. So, like, we have to think about that, too. Sometimes
no,
it's just kindness for somebody who's making a difference like that,
yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely. This email I got the other day from someone who listens to our show was, it was, like, the nicest email I've ever gotten, ever. The guy goes,
Like a fan email?
A fan, yeah. He goes, hey, man. He goes, my name is Nico, the one with MMA strips on Twitter. I wanted to say that you have an amazing podcast. You're the reasons Americans are so beloved in Sweden.
Nice. But you know what? Like as a comedian, you make a huge difference in the world because you're giving people laughter and that makes them forget about their pain. There's so many people that tell Tom, like, I made it through my teenage years because like you made Ace Ventura. You know, like you making people laugh makes them for a moment forget about their pain.
No, I it makes me forget about my own pain too. So
yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I love doing that. It's too bad you're taken. I feel like I like should have met you in like June when you were depressed. Then maybe I would have had a better shot. So but yeah, so yeah, that guy wrote that, and then he wrote some anyway. So thank you for writing that. All right, so Jade Bryce, this has been very. I feel like I got to know you. This is great.
What else can we say?
Did we have any questions that people? Did people send any?
Yeah, but they're all disgusting.
They're all pretty creepy.
Okay, I mean, you want me to read the questions?
No,
they're pretty funny.
She's going to be bummed about the world now. She's going to be like, really? Like, this is what the world is asking me?
No,
ask Jade if that's really her in that porno. So answer that. That's from Mr. Antichrist.
Nope, not me.
So, and then someone said, what porno was that? And then 10 people wanted that person to DM the link of the
Are
porno.
Are people listening live? Is that?
No, no,
oh, okay.
No.
They're just asking by coincidence.
No, because I put like any questions for Jay Bryce on this website and on the underground, and then people go, and then everyone wants to link of the porno.
Everyone was going to ask me like about pizza.
Ask Jade if she would go on a date with the abstinent juggernaut. Oh, with Jake Ellenberger.
Isn't he dating the girl that interviewed me in that dress that you liked, the see-through dress? Jordan McDonald.
They were dating.
Okay, because they're a cute couple. He's very cute, and she's very cute. They're both very nice. I liked them as a couple.
Me too. And then someone said, Jake, the born-again Ellenberger, cracks me up.
Is he a virgin?
No, but every week we like ask him if he got laid or had sex, and he
Why?
Says, because it makes him uncomfortable.
Oh.
And then he says no every week. Oh, no, I'm just training. So then it became a running joke that he's now the born again Christian, and then like whatever.
I went like 10 months one time.
Really?
Yeah, not a long time. It was during that 2 years worth of singleness. 2 years
when you were
time.
Living in a van and.
No, I was living in a house with 5 people. There was 300 people coming through our house every week, and I just went 10 months. I don't know.
What about pizza? You said you expected people to ask you about pizza.
They know me on my social media as the pizza slut. If you hashtag the pizza slut, if you click on that.
Oh yeah, someone did say that. Someone did on Twitter said that
I want some right now.
So favorite pizza.
I really like Lucifer's and Fresh Brothers. I like thin crust. I love Daiya cheese. I like pineapple and onion, and I love Cholula on it.
So what's your favorite spot here in LA?
It's tied with I'd say Fresh Brothers, but I really like Lucifer's and Cruisers also.
You got to go to Grimaldi's in El Segundo.
It's bomb. This conversation became really lame.
I know, but it's bomb.
How can you say that?
This is what happens when you let
DJ talk.
When you let DJ
pictures.
And the beautiful girl asks the questions. It becomes about pizza.
I'm trying to get to know her.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Mr. Sweetness.
I know. What can I do? I'm the other side. You're the devil.
Real other side. You're the guy who wants to convince you they're the side so they can get to the other side. Come on. Give me a break. So, Jade, do you have any tattoos or not in real life?
Yeah. The ones on my arms right now are fake from I filmed Lost in Austin yesterday. But I've got the one on my back that I talked about that says Smile. They did it with bamboo, and then a little monk prayed over it. I've got one on my left foot that's a girl crying with like a spirit hood elephant on her head, because I feel like that's my spirit animal, and crying to remind myself no more tears, but at the same time, like, cry their tears, like, for other people. And then my right foot is Africa with a heart over Uganda. That was my first tattoo, and it's teal. To remind me that, this first school I ever built was in Uganda, and that's what opened up my eyes to the needs of the world. So to remind me to keep living that way. And then it's teal because, I want to have a child with the person that I'm in love with, because the miracle of it and seeing like we created this. But because I consider myself adopted, I want to adopt. Teal is like a name I've always wanted to name my son.
You consider yourself adopted by who?
Well, just the childhood that I talked about. I enrolled in the Youth Homeless Association and had to move in with multiple people throughout my teenage years. Feel like, Tom took on that father role as well. But, I lived in multiple homes throughout my teenage years. And when I was 16 and I was, living in a Ford Festiva, and going to school, this couple invited me to live with them. And I was really shy about it because I had been without a home for over a year, but, it wasn't pride. It was more like insecurity. Like, I didn't want to get attached to anybody. I was scared of love big time. I hadn't said the word I love you in years. And when they took me in, they were great people. And I can't imagine the life I would have walked, the path I would have walked down had they not taken me in, because I was in a bad crowd doing some bad things. But I've never done, I wasn't doing drugs or anything but bad stuff.
What were
stuff.
You doing?
I mean, I just was headed down the wrong path. And I was, around some bad stuff, but not actually partaking. But they took me in, and they were, really religious people that believed in, preordained marriages and things like that. And so I actually got married at like 20 years old.
To who?
They picked out a husband for me, pretty much, and told me, like, you have a year and a half. You can see him once a month in public. I mean, once a week in public settings. You can hold hands in a month, and you can kiss in a year and a half at an altar. Pretty much.
Wait, a couple adopts you, and then makes you.
This is like the weirdest thing you can know about me.
Makes you marry somebody that you just met that you didn't even know.
We'd seen each other like 20 times in person, and I remember on our honeymoon. So I was a virgin till then, till our honeymoon, and I remember on our honeymoon saying. I saw like a little Asian girl with a white couple, and I remember saying something about like, oh, I can't like really want to adopt. He's like, we're not adopting. And I was like, oh, shoot. Like, I just married someone that knows nothing about what I want in life, And, I really stuck it out because I wanted to, and I thought I had struck gold because I met a guy who would never do what my father did to me. He would never, talk down to me. He would never beat me. He would never cheat on me. He would never abandon me. Because he was a good moralized guy. But so I tried to make it work. But like I said, I'm all about chemistry.
And there was
and
no
connection.
Love there, and
no, we were just roommates.
So how hard was it to get divorced from him?
I felt really bad because it was the first divorce in his family because they had been raised in that religion. But I felt like I was missing out on life, and I wanted to experience romance and passion. And it's funny. Like, we would. in the 2.5 years we were married, we maybe had sex like 10 times. And I remember trying to get him to go to counseling. And the counselor was like, you have to have sex on Fridays. And I was like, this is horrible. Like,
wow,
this is not a way to live. And even though I didn't know I could live the way I'm living now, I had a hope of it. And I'm so glad that I did, because I'm living it now. You know, I'm being able to travel and, you know, experience things. And
it's a path you took to get to where you are now.
But it was such a risk. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So that family never talked to me again when I left that church. And
you really should write a book.
I am trying. But, you know, I got to like age 14, which is when things get really dark. And that's when June happened. So I had to like set it down for a little bit.
June.
June is when I wrote that blog.
Oh.
Yeah. So because, you know, when you're writing a book, you can't just like, you know, write something empty. You've got to put a lot of emotion in it and make it interesting and make people feel it. And so I was having to put myself back in those times.
That's just tough.
Yeah. And it was, yeah, it was really hard. So, you know, I'm taking a little break, but I'm almost ready to pick it back up.
Yeah. Wow. You've been through a lot. I had no idea when I was watching you on Bellator that this was, I had no idea what you have been through. You're going to. You're probably great in bed because of all this. I find the girls that had the most crazy childhood.
I feel like I am.
Yeah. I could definitely see that you're definitely, you know.
I'm comfortable.
You're comfortable.
That's what makes the difference.
You definitely know? Like to experiment and do some crazy stuff.
Yeah, when you're comfortable with a person. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So when are you breaking up with this guy? How do I help? This is, forget Juliana Pena. Okay, she's been replaced. But that's
until next week.
Until the next guest we have next week. But yeah, this is great stuff. I think people are gonna fall in love with you. I think you're gonna,
for sure.
Hopefully they're inspired.
They're gonna be inspired. They're gonna be confused.
I confuse people a lot. I know.
But I think you're gonna make it no matter what you do. You've already made it, but you're gonna make it even more.
I'd really like to make it in film.
Yeah, so would I. And I'd like to watch you in film. I mean, in a serious way, not a perverted, creepy way. But that too. But yeah, you do a very good.
We just gotta speak it into existence and go after it.
Oh, you're into that whole secret thing? Is that?
I've never read The Secret, and I don't really agree with what I've heard, but I do think that if you say out loud all the time the things that you want, and you have more of a focus on it. Yeah. I don't think that if you say I'm going to be an NBA star and I'm 5'3 and a girl that I'm going to be an NBA star, but I think that if I say something every day, I tend to focus on it more.
I agree.
So
with that.
And say things positive. I do feel like the universe says yes a lot. So if you're like, oh, I'm so depressed and lonely in LA, the city's so horrible and I'm not doing anything with my life, I feel like the universe is like, yeah. But I feel like you're like, love is on the way and my finances are blessed and I'm gonna bless others, my relationship is blessed, that I feel like the universe is like, yeah.
You have to ask for it.
It's true. I'm gonna date Jade Bryce. I'm gonna wake up and say, it's gonna happen. Jade's gonna leave her boyfriend and come over. It's gonna happen.
Then you'll send her a picture of her with like pictures all over your wall and the
I already did. That was actually my email.
That was you.
That was me. Well, thank you, Jade. This has been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank
Maxim
you.
Maxim Hot 100.
Oh, yes. Talk about that. Talk about what
Please
you're doing with the Maxim.
Please vote for me. I think voting is up another 2 weeks. You can vote every day. You can vote from your cell phone. You can vote from your computer. You can vote from your iPad. Please vote. Like I said, anytime I'm put in the spotlight, I'll put the needs of others in a spotlight. And I'm not trying to bribe you to vote. But you're doing a good thing by voting. Please vote.
Yeah, Maxim.com/girls/hot100.
And if you're on my Instagram, @TheJadeBryce, the link is in my bio.
And Twitter?
@TheJadeBryce, yeah.
Right. Well, thank you, DJ Shrope.
Thank you, Adam.
I know that you're here. thank you very much. Thank you, everyone listening to MMA Roasted. Thank you, Jade Bryce, especially. You can follow me, adamhunter.com. I will be in Rochester, New York, performing at RIT this Saturday night. Hopefully you'll come watch. And then next week I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the week after that, I am in Arizona. So, cool.
Bye.
Bye.